If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you turn to Matthew chapter 10. And reading this morning from verses 32 through 39, Jesus said, I didn't say this, Jesus did. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. For he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And I want to use for a topic this morning, preaching for a while, the topic of the high cost of playing it safe. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I pray, Father, for a special anointing of your Holy Spirit upon your children to hear and upon this pitiful poor preacher to speak. Only that which you have for us, Lord. And for that we say amen and amen. What I'm about to share with you this morning is not done to offend you. It's not done to attack you, but rather to help you. I believe that today, in today's modern church, it's growing increasingly more difficult to find Christians that are willing to risk their personal relationships in this world with those that they're so close to because of the fear of rejection. This morning's scripture is perhaps, in all of the New Testament, one of the most direct and challenging scriptures that a child of God can hear. But in order for a Christian to apply these principles for which the Master has spoken, one must be willing to suffer the consequences for these actions. To obey the Lord over this segment of scripture is not easy. To obey the Master for what he had said, you might suffer ridicule, rejection, alienation, even isolation, and I assure you, humiliation. I think one might ask themselves, well, why would a God of love want me to risk my relationship with my loved ones if he's a God of love? Why would he do that? I think it's perhaps because he is a God of love that he asks us to do this. I want you to look at this text very close this morning. If you have your Bibles, keep them open to Matthew chapter 10. And I want us to look at these few verses very closely. The first verse, verse 32, says, For whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And I want to look at the first important word there is the word confess. And the translation for confess comes from the word homologio. Now listen carefully to this meaning, because when we look in the English reading, the reading text, we tend to determine its meaning based on our 21st century understanding of the English language, but the Bible was not written in English. And so we need to sometimes go back and find out what was really said. And typically the word confess is a simple word for most to understand. but listen to its true meaning in the original text. To confess means to declare openly, freely, unrestrained. Maybe I can paraphrase it by saying uninhibited. To profess oneself the worshiper of another. To profess oneself means to be willing to make a declaration, to praise and celebrate one, both privately and publicly. And so the Lord said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And I think that by this definition of the true word homologio, we can begin to see that this challenge that the Master brings before us is far more than perhaps we thought it to be. If I might be brash, it takes spiritual guts to be a child of God. I believe that for those that truly desire to serve the Lord in this capacity, you will find in doing so comes with a tremendous amount of challenge that goes way beyond your norm. But I also know it comes with a tremendous blessing and reward. I want you to listen. Remember, homologio, to declare publicly and privately our Master. He goes deeper and he says, but whosoever shall deny me before men will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, the first word I want to look at, obviously, is the word deny. And unlike the traditional meaning, the simple meaning of deny, these words go much deeper. The word deny, artemaheo, means to disregard, listen now carefully, to disregard one's value for his own interests. I think today, more than ever, it's a generation of all about me. Yet Jesus said, if you will deny me, then I will deny you. To deny means to act entirely unlike what oneself is truly like. Peter knew the cost of denying the Lord. He knew what it was like to not live up to what God had done in his life. He suffered the pains and torments of hell when he denied the Lord 3 times. To not accept or to even reject one so as to refuse what someone or something has been offered. Do you understand that meaning? To deny the Lord is to not accept or even to reject one so as to refuse what something or someone has been offered. This literally means to consider something that was of great value worthless. Do you hear me? Worthless. I like what Strong's put in here, and that is to not declare, but to deny the Lord, to conceal the Lord, is to say, in essence, it never happened. Do you follow me? Your relationship with him never happened. If you find yourself concealing, hiding, not declaring, not being bold enough to say, God is God, and he paid a price for my salvation and for yours, but you deny that, you conceal that, it is as if Christ never died on the cross. So if that be the case, we can begin to understand why he said, "Whosoever denies me before man, him will I," not might I, but will I deny, will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. The severity of this revelation is in the part of the text that says, if you deny him, he will deny you. What does that mean? That means that Jesus himself will disregard your confession of conversion and rule it a false conversion. He'll echo the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He will perceive that you have considered his sacrifice of no value as if it never happened. The problem with Christians today is we have grown accustomed to and comfortable in just being Christian when we're with Christians. When we were around our friends and our loved ones and our family, we probably have no problem maintaining at least a sense of moral values and standards. Why? Pardon me. Why? Because it's really not so difficult. Even amongst the heathenest of heathens, you can still live moral and decent in front of them and not be an offense to them. But most Christians today seldom venture beyond that which is comfortable and safe. For most Christians today, they leave that to somebody else to take care of. Paul said to Timothy, do the work of the evangelist. And I tell you today, do the work of the evangelist. To refuse to stand up for Christ is to say my comfort and my relationship with others is more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ, even at the risk of losing my friends, my families, and my loved ones to an eternal hell. My relationship with them is more important. Preacher, I can't do what you're asking. I can't do this with my friends and my families. I can't do this with my loved ones because I'm afraid. I'm uncomfortable. I just can't do it. What you really mean is you won't do it. Somebody say amen. It's not that you can't do it. It's that you won't do it. I know it sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Some of you are watching and sitting idly by as your loved ones are going to die in an eternal hell. In essence, you have found yourself concealing whose you really are. And it's called playing it safe. Ezekiel said to those that live under this false pretense of not wanting to ruffle feathers, he said, for people that live that mentality, they will cry out, peace, peace, and then there will be swift and sudden destruction. Matthew 10:34, Jesus continues on and he says, think that I am come to send peace on the earth? I haven't come to send peace, but I've come to send a sword. Most people don't perceive Jesus in this fashion. Most think of Jesus today from pulpits across this globe as Mr. Softy, Mr. Lovey-Dovey, and Mr. Nice Guy, a Mr. Everything is Okay, and that is the farthest thing from the truth. Let me ask you a question. And you answer to yourself, it's really very, very quite simple to do. When you think about what is being preached from most pulpits today, is it hard? Does it sound harsh? Does it sound overbearingly challenging? Or does it make everything seem copacetic? Is everything comfortable? And you can get up and you can leave that church and feel okay. Would you agree with me that that is the norm today in most pulpits? It is. And that's why Jesus said what he said. Listen to me. Jesus said a lot of things to people that was very upsetting, yet he loved them. He loved even the worst of sinners more than you could ever love your loved ones and your family. They spit at him. They railed their fists at him. Yet he loved them. You say, well, preacher, I can't. I just can't do this. Besides, my friends and my family, when Jesus talked about these terrible things that they were doing, he was talking to religious leaders and my friends and my family and my loved ones. Well, they're not preachers. I mean, they're not religious leaders. No, they're not. But let me pose a question to you. If you were to ask your friends, your families, and your loved ones that are not saved, if they feel that they're doing okay, how many of you believe that they'd say, yes, I'm doing okay? Then they qualify to be just like the ones that Jesus talked to. And here's what Jesus said to the religious people of the day. You're a bunch of vipers. You judge people. You judge people. Don't you know that your loved ones and your friends that hear that you're Christian are judging you every opportunity they have? Jesus said, you're a bunch of hypocrites because you live by double standards. The church today is filled with hypocrisy. Can you imagine considering yourself saved and standing there and looking at your spouse or your child or your parent and knowing that they're unsaved and you're doing nothing about it? And you call yourself Christian. I think that's called denying the Lord. I really believe that's denying the Lord. You're playing it safe, church. The world today sees a church that plays it safe. That's why the Supreme Court ruled that gay marriages and lesbian marriages are okay, because the church has played it safe. Christians have found a comfort zone to live amongst the world. Jesus said, you have eyes to see, talking to those that are unsaved. You have eyes to see, but you see not. You have ears to hear, but you hear not. I'm going to say something this morning. I'll go say it. I think one of the most conservative people in our church today is Brother Steve. He's probably one of the more analytical and intellectual of all of us. And I respect you for that, my brother. But I also know that Steve is the most reserved and would be the last person to want to really move out and step forward in becoming any kind of a bold speaker or brash evangelist. Yet, he got his parents to come to church. He got his parents to come to church. This couple right here. And then that morning service gave their heart to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't tell me you can't do it. Don't tell me you can't do it. Because Jesus turned. Listen, you got back from vacation. You could have done it. You're on vacation. You could have done it. I'm calling you out. You could have stood up for the master. You've got loved ones dying and going to hell. Do you understand? Marilyn Fabian is not in the pew this morning. She did not know she was not coming to church, but God called her home. If your loved ones were to die, where would they go? Would God call them home? Or would you know that for a certainty they did not make it but will suffer an eternal hell and you remain silent? Jesus looked and he said to the church in the last days, he said, you think you're rich, but you're poor. You're destitute. Don't you know you're blind and you're naked? He stood at the door and he knocked on that door. And that is the door of the church today. Jesus isn't in the church today. He was on the outside of the church knocking to get in. Do you understand me? Well, now, preacher, I don't like this kind of preaching. This is upsetting to me. This is not what I really prefer. I don't frankly care what you prefer. I am tired of making apologies for me being in your face with the truth. I would rather be in your face with the truth and get you so upset with me than for you to leave here and let your loved ones die in eternal hell and you do nothing about it. Take the responsibility for what Christ has done in your life and pass it on. Love them enough, but love Him more. Love them enough, but love Him more. I'm going to tell you something right now. This church won't be like other churches. If you're looking for something that's going to make you feel good, then this is the wrong place for you. And you'll see people get up and you'll see people leave, and that will be okay. But I'm going to preach hell hot and heaven holy. I'm going to preach that the altars ought to be filled with weeping and crying out to God. I'm going to preach that the gifts of the Holy Ghost are going to come and there'll be a prophetic word spoken and God will give the interpretation. And I will not apologize for it, but I will congratulate you for it, for being sensitive to the truth. I find it strange that people today, and I'm talking about our loved ones, our friends, they'll turn to you and say, well, this kind of preaching is not popular anymore. No, it's not popular. But then again, what Jesus did wasn't too popular either. Amen? Huh? I mean, they crucified Him. They crucified Him. Well, yeah, but, you know, there's other churches out there, Pastor Jeff. And you know, some of these churches are big churches. And I mean, think about Catholicism. It's been around for 2,000 years. Well, first of all, it hadn't been around for 2,000 years. You didn't have the first pope until 300 A.D. So there goes Catholicism. It's 300 years short of what they thought they were. But all that said and done, they've been around for all these years. Can they be wrong? Yes! Israel has been around for 6,000 years and is still wrong. Don't tell me because of longevity, it makes it right. Jesus came on the scene for 3.5 years. Listen to it. 3.5 years he preached the gospel. He didn't come up there and say, now listen, what you've been hearing for these thousands of years, I'm here to endorse and to continue. He said, no, I've got a new message. And a new message. It's a lot different than what you're used to. Jesus was not. Listen, I know Jesus is love. Don't get me wrong, but it's an agape love. It's a sacrificing love. Some of us think love is just feeling good, rubbing shoulders. Say, oh, thank you, Jesus. It's more than that, folks. It's putting your head on the chopping block if you have to. It's losing friends, and it's even losing loved ones, as Jesus said. Jesus didn't come for a popularity race, and the church is not supposed to seek one either. He didn't come to put some icing on the cake, and the church isn't supposed to either. He didn't come to preach some limp wrist, panty waist, sugar-coated message either. He came to shout a warning of impending judgment, and it is coming. It is coming. He came to tell us that we're all sinners. And we have all become separated from God. And there's only one way to become reunited with God. And that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not through some pope, not through some priest, not through some preacher, but through the blood that has been shed upon the cross of Calvary. Only through the cross can man be saved. He came to call all men to repentance.
He didn't call all men to have cocktail parties and get along with everybody and don't talk about religion and politics. He said, when you're out there, be ye separate. Be called out from amongst them and say, thus saith the Lord. He said, you've got to be born again. There's no other way. You may think you're smart enough, sir, that you can go to heaven on your intellect. You will not make it. You think you might be educated enough. That's not going to get you to heaven. You may think you belong to a church. That's not going to get you to heaven. There is only one way to get to heaven, and that is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to tell us that he loves us so much that he and he alone will pay that price for us. And he did exactly what he said he would do. And he said, now it's your turn, church. Tell them. Tell them what I've done. Tell them what I said. Tell them what I've done. Tell them what I've said. Remember, somebody cared enough for you
to risk their relationship to get you saved. They're willing to sacrifice. Somebody was willing to sacrifice their popularity with you. They were willing to sacrifice the fear of rejection and isolation. They were willing to go ahead and lay it all down and say, you may hate me for what I'm going to say. You may never want to see me again for what I'm going to say. You may never want to be around me again for what I'm going to say, but I'm going to tell you, you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And if you don't get right with God, if you don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you breathe your last breath for all eternity, you will burn in the fires and torments of hell. I don't know that I can count that many Christians that are willing to do that. But can you love them enough to care more for them than you can care for yourself? Matthew chapter 10, verse 35 said, for I have come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I said it before, he was not on a popularity race. I didn't say these things, church. Jesus did. He wasn't concerned about his reputation, his popularity. He wasn't trying to be all things to all people. He didn't come to be a friend of the world. In fact, the complete opposite. He came to save us from the world. And he was deemed the enemy to the world. Are you? Are you? Listen to the next verse, 10:36. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. I want you to think about your household. Ma'am, your husband, sir, your wife, your children, your grandparents. Who did he say would be your greatest battle? They would. Those closest to you. Was he wrong? No, because you've cowered under and avoided it. He's right. I'll tell you why you cower under. You're afraid. You don't want to be rejected by those you love. Yet the one that loves you the most will reject you ultimately if you don't stand up for him. I didn't say that. He did. Nobody wants to be isolated from their loved ones. But let me ask you a question. Listen to me. Wouldn't you rather be rejected, humiliated, and isolated from your family, knowing that you did your very best to try and reach them? How will you sit in a funeral parlor and look upon your friends that die before you, your loved ones that die before you, your family that dies before you? How will you be able to sit there knowing that the Lord told you in his own word, you go and tell them they must be born again. You go and tell them they need me. You go and tell them I love them and I want to save them. And you didn't do it. Or maybe you'll take, well, I did it once. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to stop being seekers for excuses. But let us face up to see the church for how it is today. And I said it 3 weeks ago, and I'll say it last week, and I'll say it again this week. The church is sick. The church is sick. The body of Christ is sick today. We sang, stand up for Jesus. You soldiers of the cross. Everybody stand up and herald the Blackhawks, but don't see many people stand up for Jesus. We have people that will go ahead and take arms and fight for their country, but they won't fight for Jesus. God help us. For the fear of rejection, for the fear of isolation and humiliation. The bottom line is, you don't think he's worth it, but he is. He's worth it. I said he's worth it. He is worth it. Matthew 10:37 says, he that loveth, the word loveth, agape, sacrificial love. He that loveth his father or mother more than he loves me is not worthy of me. Did you hear what he said? You love, listen, you got your baby in your lap today. You love that baby? I know you do. But if you think for a minute that loving that baby comes first, you're mistaken. And your husband doesn't come first, but Jesus does. The worst thing you can ever do for little Caitlin is to put her first. You put your son first, you put your daughter first, and you will destroy them. Do you understand me? You husbands, you wives, you don't want to put your spouse first. You don't want to put them first in fear of rejection or isolation, because you will destroy them. And as they spend an eternity in the torments of hell, it will be their blood upon your hands. I know those are tough words, but it's the truth. That's why he said, he that loveth father or mother more than me isn't worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Your mom, your dad, they may be your best friends. Your children, the apple of your eye, and I know all that. I love my children, I love my grandchildren, and I love my parents. But I remember a day came many years ago, in spite of the love that I had for my mom and my dad, I had to tell them the truth. I had to tell them their Pope is a farce. His doctrine is so unbiblical. I had to tell them that their religion will not get them any closer to heaven, but only closer to hell. I had to tell them that Jesus loved them, and that they had to accept him and him alone. Not Mary, not saint this, saint that, not some holy water, not some wafer, but the Lord Jesus Christ, and said, you must be born again. And my mom fought me tooth and nail, but bent her knee one day with tears rolling down her cheeks as she received Christ as her Savior. My father got on an airplane and came down to Florida when he found out that mom got saved. And he said, I've had enough of this Jesus stuff. I'm coming down to take you home, woman. He came down to Florida to fight me, and I got right up again and said, you must be saved. You've got to be born again. You've got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he tried to fight me tooth and nail. He even tried to get in an airplane to go back home to get away from it all. But they canceled the flight on him, and he had to come back to that house again. And this old preacher got in his face one more time, and he cried out to Jesus and said, Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I preached my mom and my dad's funerals. Yes, love your mother, love your father, love your children. But don't you love them more than you love him. They will not die for you. And you dying for them won't help them one bit. But if you live for God and you'll not shame him. And I don't care how many mistakes you made. They'll know that you love God in spite of your mistakes. In spite of your shortcomings. Let them know whose you are. Somebody say amen. Jesus would say this to you. Listen to me. If they come first, if they come first, I am not yours. Am I saying to you that if you don't change regarding the way you are with your family and your friends and your loved ones, that you could be placing your own eternal salvation in jeopardy? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Because that's what the Master said. If you will not profess me before them, I will not profess you before my Father which is in heaven. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Last verse, verse 38. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Listen to me. This isn't some summer camp that I'm talking about. It's not some vacation Bible school. I'm talking about the burden of carrying a true witness, carrying a cross. Jesus said, I am the truth, the light, and the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I've been told for so many years, preacher, you're just a little bit too rough. I don't know if many people can take it. Well, let me tell you something. For those of you that endure until the end, when you get home, wait till you meet Paul. Did you hear me? You think I'm tough? Wait till you meet Daniel. Wait till you meet Jeremiah. Wait till you meet the prophet Samuel. I don't apologize. I'm done doing that. I'm going to preach this Bible till God calls me home. Whether hell comes, if they come and try and lock me up, I'll be the first cancer patient preacher in jail. But I'll still be preaching the gospel. Do you understand me? He said, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loveth his life for my sake shall find it. I sat around the table yesterday in such distraught over this recent ruling from the Supreme Court with one of my children and a grandson present. When I read that article, I said, do you know who wrote that article that I read to you this morning? No. Stephen Strang, the publisher and journalist for Charisma magazine. Now, most of you should know by now that Charisma has been a very liberal-leaning Christian publication for quite some time, but in the past couple of months, they're turning back to true Christian biblical values. And I congratulate him on this article and this challenge, and I turned to them and I said, he says in his article that even if they don't let us, we will anyhow. Even if it costs us our freedom as clergy. And I said, yes, I'll stand up. I'll stand up. Because I don't believe I could look my wife in the face. I don't believe I could look her in the eyes if I were to cower under. And if I can't set the standard, how can I expect you to? Are you willing to forgo the command and run the risk of your loved ones spending an eternal hell? What will you say to the Master if by chance you get through? And he said, what about them? Why didn't you? Well, I don't want to get them all upset. If you don't think they're upset now, watch what happens for eternity. When they remember you never warned them. They make fun of you. They may heckle you. They may ridicule you. But they know you're different, or at least they should. Let me give you these closing comments. Maybe you're saying, I'm doing the best I can do to be a witness for the Lord. But if that were true, why would you be squirming in your seat with conviction right now? Why would you try to hide your eyes from eye contact with me when I look right at you and make a comment? And you? Let me ask you a question. When you're around your unsaved family and your unsaved friends and your unsaved loved ones, who are you? Do you blend in well with them? Probably so. Or Is what they see when they see you different from how they are? Probably not. Probably not. Ask yourself, do you really feel like you honestly appear very different from how they once knew you? Or are you still the same old person, just wearing a different wrapper? Maybe it'd be better to say this. Are you who you are when you're in church, or are you who you are when you're out of church? Do you understand me? Which one is you? I will remind you of a scripture that I have shared these past 2 weeks. You cannot serve two masters. You will love the one and you will hate the other. You will cling to the one and you will reject the other. You cannot serve two masters. The rich young ruler knew that. What must I do to have eternal life? He looked at him and he saw the grip of the world upon that young man. And he said, young man, you go and sell everything you have and give it away. And you come and follow me. And the Bible said he went away weeping. He couldn't do it. For some of you today, you may not be able to do this. And you will leave weeping in your heart. Time is coming to a close, church. I don't know how soon, but I can only say it seems very soon. With all that's going on, that Jesus will return. And Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I have done my best, as poorly as I've done it, Lord, to preach your word this morning. And I pray, Father, that as challenging and as direct as these words have been, that they might have still reached beyond the crusted heart, the calloused heart, or the facade for which we hide behind. I pray, Lord, that your children will place themselves down at the cross and rise up in you, that they will not be ashamed of the gospel. For Paul said, the preaching of the gospel is to those that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Father, I pray a Holy Ghost conviction upon your children right now this morning. I pray, Lord, that they would be willing to stand up and accept the challenge by the leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I know that you will, because you said you would. You would make us witnesses. And if we'll accept that challenge, then by your Holy Spirit, you will lead us, each and every one of us, to those that so desperately need to know. Time is coming to a close. Hell could be your home or heaven. And I need to let you know I love you enough that you need to make a choice. Let that be your message. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I'll take that challenge on this morning? With your hands that have been raised, understand this. You will be accounted. You will give a full accounting for making that commitment. Don't let that scare you, but let that rather prepare you for the blessings that will come for following through. Father, you've seen every hand raised. You've seen every heart opened. You've seen every truth within. Have your will and your way with your children, Lord, this day I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you.